this high industrial type uses, not just gases and those kinds of things. If you look at what's allowed in the industrial areas now, it's a lot more downgraded to the light industrial, less, you know, nuisance oriented. Now we have a lot that's still out there that, you know, they're not, maybe not going anywhere anytime soon, but, you know, down the line there may be that potential, but, you know, it's a long-term kind of thing, you know.
And also, to be fair, because it hasn't come up in the conversations, I don't disagree with what you're saying, Bill, about some of the racial or socioeconomic ignorance that allowed things to happen, but I think a lot of it was because it was on rail lines. Because 40, 50 years ago, that's how everything moved, because the road infrastructure wasn't there the way it is.
I can only talk about things on that, but there's never been a siding on the north side of the CSX tracks in this whole area.
There's never been a what?
A railroad siding. It's never been used.
What do you mean by railroad siding?
Yeah, that's where
the way
when you're using the railroad, you build an industry next to it, you have to make a little spur line.
There's never been one.
I mean, this is a new urban.
You mean on the city side, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, on the north side of CSX Express here.
Well, it's railroads and waterways were treated very,
you know,
very differently.
I'll point out that
they're looked at today.
Through this neighborhood here, the railroads all gone through this neighborhood here. Again, you go back and just look at the economic.
Well, I know, like in this area here, between Preston. And this is out. This was country. This was city.
This is where
lots of sidetracks all through here.
Right, and actually, but again, the city's urban planner recommended not intermingling residential and industrial back in the 50s, and suggested putting this stuff north. And, you know, for whatever reason, we don't really know. It's lost in the
and a lot of that in the northern sector is stuff that was annexed in over time too. So that factors in.
In the same rationale for having things closer to the people and closer to the center of commerce applied back then as they do now. But I think Missy's point is very well taken, that we are making some changes now and we are addressing it. And I think we could probably come up with another 5 or 6 examples, but the big thing before us tonight that we've got to decide on is, number one, is do we want to update the land use plan? And I'm going to say that probably going to be one of our priorities that we do want to do, because it has been brought up to the front again, and I think most of us do recognize it's something we need to look at. So if the answer to that is yes, the next question is going to be when. And we have 25 more minutes to discuss this to try to stay on schedule, and that's what I think we need to wrestle with, is do we want to take something off of our priority? And I don't mean to jump ahead, we want to go back to it if we can, but do we want to change one of our priorities, or do we want to plan the planning commission to tackle this in 6 months, 12 months, or 18 months?
Let's plan to tackle it and just move on to next month.
All right, do we all want to tackle this? Is there anybody that does not want to address this issue?
I thought we were going to talk about woolen mills and industrial uses at this work session. I must have been conflicted at different meetings and other people, and we said, yeah, let's either
What we're planning on doing is doing that, but we can sit here for 30 minutes and discuss woolen mills. But what we're going to be delving into, and this is what Missy and I discussed earlier.
I thought that's what we were sort of agreed to do.
Well, I wouldn't say it so much got changed, as in it is a heavy topic
we can't
address it and fix the problems in the next hour. Do we want to proceed with making a change to
we were going to talk about industrial uses next to residential uses, and what we wanted to do with current M1 properties at the fourth session.
Okay.
Did you make the agenda?
Yes.
Did Mr. Pearson?
In our last meeting, we spoke about this, and I suppose for everybody here, Brian explained that in order to look at making an update to land use map, it's more appropriately done in a comprehensive manner, not just one portion of the land use map, because it does affect the entire city. So that's what we're looking at.
Okay, so the presentation was basically to tell us don't do this.
or what it entails.
I mean, Bill gave an example of Grove Square, and he pointed out some of the problems that went into that. And I think we're pretty familiar with the one down in Willow Mills, and we want to discuss that a little bit to show how much of a problem it is.
You guys as a group can't fairly take on one of the land use issues that's been identified without having a plan of action for working through the land use plans that have already been identified in the comprehensive plan. You've got 10-12 items in the comprehensive plan that are identified land use issues, and there needs to be a plan in action. So when somebody from Ridge Street says, well, why aren't you dealing with us, you're just working with Woolen Mills, we can say, well, okay, this is the plan of action to move forward through this, and this is where you're going to come up in this rotation. So it's not that we aren't going to go there, it's that we need to do it broader so that we can have more acceptance of the system.
I thought this was an issue, as identified our meeting 2 weeks ago, that covers a lot of different neighborhoods.
Well, it does.
We got an email today from North Downtown.
I mean, Ms. Dunham, her original letter to us mentioned, you know, the other neighborhoods were the same, and the main one was the issue.
Which is true. I mean, you know,
Mike Bill 85.
Well, some of our preliminary thoughts have been that there are a number of neighborhoods where industrial uses have been of concern, and so that would logically make sense, since that's come to the forefront as one of the first issues, to work with the neighborhoods that are having that concern. But we also want to make this very, very visual for everyone. We want to make it fair to say, oh, we're not just, you know, working with Woolen Mills and we're going to ignore everyone else. We've got a process for, okay,
we're focusing through. Putting Woolen Mills out of it, I never said it should be neighborhood specific. That's totally not what you're saying. But I thought we were discussing it. And I brought this list that you sent me about 3 years ago that lists properties that are in M1 that are, their current uses are inconsistent. And I thought that's what we were talking about. But now it's 40 minutes into it, and I don't really...
You're probably the only one of us that has this list.
I sent it by Missy because I was curious about it when Grove Square came up. And, I mean, frankly, the properties at Grove Square, that person acquired those properties knowing it had M1 zoning, and he knew that he could do damn well what he pleased there. It was a minefield for him. It was great. It was beautiful. It was oil filled, rather. I mean, that's why he acquired them. It wasn't, I don't think it was, and maybe at some point officials in the city knew that there was a larger plan. I mean, Richard Hewitt's plan for these properties where Grove Square went is a decade old. It's been talked about since I came on the Planning Commission. So, I don't think that was a big surprise, but I think if we continue to allow things to be zoned to M1, but we have staffers like Brian who come to meetings and say, well, M1 really isn't M1 anymore, it's different types of business, then those should not be M1 anymore. I really feel like that. If the use of the property for the last 50 years has never been M1, why are they still zoned for light industrial?
There was a large change in the way the zoning ordinance was written in 2003.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the prior ordinance is what you call an incremental ordinance, which is, you know, your lowest intensity zoning is listed first. There's a list of uses. Then your next lowest intensity is listed next, and it's these uses plus whatever was in the last one. And when you get through that style of ordinance, by the time you get to M2, or whatever your highest intensity zoning is, M2 allows everything. This is what we, you know, Nick and I always joke about this, because the Waynesboro ordinance was written like this, and there was M2, which basically said you can do everything but, and then there was the next section was this hilarious list of uses you could not do in the city. They were just the banned uses. And there were only like 15, and, you know, explosives manufacturer and atomic power plant and things that nobody would ever locate in the city. But that was the way it was done. When 2003, when the ordinance was changed, M2 was stricken out of the code. There's actually, M1 doesn't exist anymore either. It's actually M1. Wow. It's manufacturing and industrial is the zone. And there was a very narrow list. I tell people that in 2003, you know, the industrial zone went from the most permissive to one of the least permissive zones overnight, pretty much. 2003, MI zoning allows for very, you know, a very small group of light industrial uses. You know, heavy industrial is gone.